We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Crisis Next Door, a weekly report on the biggest conflicts around the world, with host Jason Brooks.
Thank you for listening to The Crisis Next Door. I'm Jason Brooks. Belarus is the latest nation to be convulsed by mass demonstrations, looking to rid the country of an authoritarian regime. But will Alexander Lukashenko, sometimes called Europe's last dictator, willingly give up the reins on his country? To talk about what's happening in Belarus, we're joined by Franek Wieczorka, a journalist and analyst based in Minsk and a non-resident fellow with the Atlantic Council and vice president of Digital Communication Network. Franek, thank you for joining The Crisis Next Door.
Thank you for having me.
Franek, let's set the stage. You've been on the ground covering the protests since they started earlier this month, which started after Alexander Lukashenko won the presidential election, which has been roundly criticized for electoral fraud. What are the demonstrators demanding, and how much do you think this caught Lukashenko off guard?
Yeah, you're right. These protests are absolutely unprecedented for Belarus and for the whole region. I think that really important events are not only for Belarus happening, but for the whole post-Soviet space. I would say that Belarus is the last Soviet country, and what we see right now, that's the end of the Soviet Union collapse. In 1990, many people went out to the streets in Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and demanded the independence. And the only one country had the revenge of the Soviet forces, it was Belarus. And Belarus didn't experience privatization, didn't join European family as Baltic states, it didn't have real reforms. So for 30 years, it was living in the Soviet-style regime system led by President Alexander Lukashenko, leading the country for 26 years. And these protests that we are talking right now, they did not start last week. They started earlier this year during the COVID crisis. And that was the beginning when Lukashenko made several mistakes, and which actually sparked the new political movement which brought Belarus to where it is now.
Do you think if not for the COVID outbreak that perhaps these demonstrations would not be taking place, that Lukashenko's rule would not have been challenged in the first place?
Nothing showed that this protest would happen. But I mentioned COVID crisis because Lukashenko really misconducted this crisis. He underestimated the importance of the pandemic. He said that a virus is hoax, it's not real, and you should drink vodka and play ice hockey if you want to get cured. And I'm not joking. It's his word. It's his statement. And many people got organized. They created alternative civil society. They helped each other. They gathered money for doctors during the COVID crisis. And now the same structures are helping protesters during the crackdown. Now these structures that were helping doctors during COVID crisis, they're supporting families of thousands those arrested and detained by authorities. And all these protests, they will not finish anytime soon. People pretty angry with their government. They understood that all this time government was not serving its people, but government was using its own people and cheating and lying for many people, that was a real discovery that all the state propaganda machine didn't tell the truth. So today and yesterday, I saw at the streets those who would never protest against the regime, but they are so angry to be cheated, manipulated, and intimidated that they can't stay home anymore.
The scenes from Independence Square in Minsk have been overwhelming. Every avenue filled with people. You mentioned that there have been arrests. Protest leaders have been arrested. Do you think this will scare other protesters or perhaps backfire with those leaders being turned into martyrs for the protesters?
Many people are scared. And, you know, when you watch video online, it's much more frightening than if you are there. When you are there, you're surrounded by other people, journalists, activists, and you are not scared so much. Yes, you see the blasts, you see explosions, you see grenades, you see army shooting the people, but you also feel the energy of other protesters, you know, and it gives you power, and it gives you also understanding and the feeling that you are fighting for good, that you are fighting for something right, and you are risking not just because, but you are risking in name of future of your country. And I think for many people who passed through this crackdown and who were shot by police, for them it was like the moment of getting mature. It was the several days when our nation got matured. This, perhaps I will say not popular things, but I think, you know, these wounds, these injuries, and these tortures, they were important to open eyes of millions of those who were living in unreal Belarus, who were living in absolutely illusionary world. And now they just awakened. They understand that every one can make the change. They realized that if they will not stop this violence, this torture, this evil, no one else will stop. And this is quite unbelievable personally to me.
Franek, have the demonstrators risen up or fought back at all against the military or police who have been using whether shock grenades, tear gas, or even bullets in some cases against them? Have there been any pushback against the authorities cracking down?
You know, our people, Belarus people, are very peaceful. And I would say we often refer Belarus as Germans of the Eastern Europe because they are very organized, very disciplined, very ordered. You know, they always follow the law and the rules. And for many Belarusians, it's quite impossible to attack the police, you know, because police is something, or soldier or army, it's something like untouchable. And this is why for many people we're shocking to see when police began shooting them. And I must say that our police, the riot police, it's much more violent than perhaps American police. Perhaps I'm wrong, you know, and I'm watching perhaps wrong videos, even from Portland and other places. But I must say that for 26 years of President Lukashenko, he has created not just law enforcement, he has created his own personal army of loyal bodyguards, thousands of bodyguards, ready not just to protect the order, but ready to shoot anyone, ready to protect their leader by any price. And they are much more organized, they are much more violent, they are much more aggressive than even American policemen, you know, used to disperse protests in the United States. What can be done against them? I don't know. People don't have weapons. People don't know how to protest violently. You know, they the last time they just brought guitars and music instruments and some drums, you know, to sing and to play music. I think that's during the some clashes I saw people were throwing fruits, to the police, but still it's not enough to stop the violence. So I don't think Belarusians are able, you know, for violent resistance, which make the situation even more drastic, even more dramatic for protesters.
Certainly very interesting response from the demonstrators. How much support is Lukashenko receiving from the population? Are there big counter demonstrations in support of Lukashenko?
Oh, I don't think he has much support at all. You know, we even call him the president of army and police. I don't think he actually received much votes at these elections. Of course, there are many people dependent on the regime, those public sector workers, doctors, teachers, all those who receive money from the state budget, and they feel like they must pay back, that government pays them money and they must protect this government. But I would say they are like 15-20% of population maximum, and those who will vote for him. But of course, majority at these elections, and we have documentary evidences, did vote for changes, did vote for alternative candidates. And these elections were absolutely unprecedented in terms of falsifications that were documented by observers and by activists. So I think he feels this too. And this is why his response was so violent. He realized that he is not in majority anymore. And in order to preserve his power, he needs to take more aggressive steps.
You're listening to The Crisis Next Door. I'm Jason Brooks, and we're talking about the mass demonstrations in Belarus with Franek Viachorka, a journalist and analyst based in Minsk. Opposition candidate Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya fled Belarus and now is in exile in neighboring Lithuania. Will she run for office again, and what is she trying to achieve from afar?
Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya is the symbol of this uprising. She is not pure politician. She doesn't want to be politician. She managed to become the leader of this grassroots movement and the symbol of the people who just want changes. She says, I'm coming here and I'm running for these elections because I want to conduct new elections. And she doesn't promise anything. She doesn't promise any reforms or changes. Her program is pretty short, very simple, new elections. And I think this is what bought so many people. Because people, it's not a competition of political programs. It's not a competition between the Republicans or Democrats. It's competition between crazy authoritarian leader and the democratic model of the country. So people, they are not supporting one ideology who are coming to the streets. There are more left, there are more right, there are pro-Western, there are pro-Russian at this protest. But all of them just got tired of one leader, one post-Soviet boring leader who is getting older and older, and he is getting far away from reality. And this is what is perception here on the place. You know, people just divide this revolution on two parts. First part, to get rid of Lukashenko, who is like the personalization of the evil for many people. And second part, to conduct new elections. And I don't think that Tsikhanouskaya will be the candidate at new elections. She's like Jeanne d'Arc, you know. She's not coming to lead the country. She's coming to conduct a revolution. And she had already actually performed her mission.
Tsikhanouskaya addressed the Foreign Affairs Committee of European Parliament today, saying Belarus has woken up and that a peaceful revolution is taking place. What can Europe do to ensure a peaceful transition of power in Belarus?
Unfortunately, there are no much instruments to impact, to influence to save the situation. They are discussing sanctions towards regime of Lukashenko and those involved into repressions and crackdown. But that's not enough. They discuss in negotiations and roundtables with Russia regarding Belarus, but it won't help because Russia is backing President Lukashenko here right now. Russia doesn't need to invade Belarus because Russia has control over President Lukashenko. It just needs to save him in power, but to weaken him so much as possible. When you have a weakened leader, he's much more agreeable for anything. And I think this is main interest of Russia. So any attempts to negotiate with Russia right now, they will be endless and they will not lead to any solution. And I think the only thing Lukashenko, President Lukashenko, wants to do right now, he wants to win some time. And he won, he's bluffing that he will be torturing, killing, you know, shooting people. And he wants just to deteriorate the protest movement. And sometimes I feel like he's succeeding.
Are there fears in Belarus that what's happening in Ukraine could happen in Belarus? Or, like you said, Putin may not send in his army, just doesn't need to. So perhaps worries over a war like in Ukraine won't happen in Belarus?
Belarus is not Ukraine, and it's definitely not Russia. Ukraine was a democratic country when the revolution happened, partial democracy, let's say. Belarus is authoritarianism. And I think if revolution will succeed, that will be... Belarus is not divided on the west and the east like Ukraine. Belarus doesn't have this a Russian presence as Russia has in Donbass and Crimea. There are no pro-Russian organizations in Belarus. So if the changes, if the revolution succeeds, Belarus will be quickly integrating into Europe. And it's not even the issue, you know. Belarus will be, perhaps it will adjust even quicker than Poland or Baltic countries to European standards. Because it's very organized, it's very well-built infrastructure, state infrastructure is existing. And most of the elites are technocrats. I mean, the guys who were serving the regime, but not because they support Lukashenko, but because they are professionally fit to these positions, and they became ministers or chairmen or leaders because of their career growth, but not because political appointments. So if Lukashenko is deleted from these elites, from the top of Belarus state structure, the infrastructure of the state will remain. Belarus will be quickly able to quickly conduct all the reforms that Ukraine failed after Revolution 2014. So I'm pretty optimistic about that.
Earlier this week, Belarus's Ministry of Defense reported an attempt to violate the airspace of the Republic of Belarus. 8 balloons with anti-state symbols launched from the territory of Lithuania. Obviously, these balloons didn't pose any threat. What does this tell you about Lukashenko in his attempts to hold on to power? Might he look for a foreign provocation to try and rally Belarusians? Would he have any success in doing that?
Lithuania didn't plan any attack or whatever against Belarus. Of course, it was the PR game by Belarus Ministry of Defense. They said that Lithuania launched these small balloons with the flag, and it was a provocation. And in response, they launched helicopters, you know, to stop balloons from invading Belarus airspace. Of course, it's circus, it's comedy. But I think that's also very symbolic because it describes perfectly what's happening in Belarus. We see the musicians with the guitar countering the thousands of riot policemen with arms. And the same like helicopters against balloons launched from Lithuania. You know, they want to show the strength and the power. But instead, they are showing how weak and how insecure they feel by these statements. Also, Lukashenko wants to bluff. He is bluffing, and he wants to show the threat from the West. And he is looking for any opportunity to show NATO army near Belarus border in Poland, or some soldiers coming from Lithuania. He can't find any real threat from there, so he just create this threat. And all propaganda machine is working to amplify this feeling of the foreign threat to the country.
Speaking of a circus, Lukashenko was seen in a bulletproof vest with a rifle getting off a helicopter outside his residence, with demonstrators nearby demanding his resignation. Is just this a desperate chance at being macho by Lukashenko in order to try and threaten the people to pull back from demonstrating against him? I mean, how are Belarusians looking at this image of Lukashenko?
He wants to look macho, of course. This was the message not to the people, but to the law enforcement. I think this gun and bulletproof vest, it was the demonstration like, guys, I am here to the end. I am not going to flee. I am same as you. We are like one team, one family right now. And I think law enforcement really respected this. They like this macho type approach. And unfortunately, this doesn't solve the problem. I think this message and the way how it was communicated to the wider audience is very dangerous. Because for many people, it was like a message, guys, we don't care about your life. We are ready to kill you. Just try to protest again. And today, the Ministry of Defense, they published another statement saying that we are army, but we see the internal threat coming from Belarus people, and we will be using our resources and soldiers to keep things in order. So all of this means that Lukashenko basically indirectly announces the war against his own people, and it scares me a lot, honestly.
Franek, I know it's very hard to try to read the future, but do you think Lukashenko will willingly give up power eventually, or will he not go down without a fight?
He will not go down without a fight. He is preparing for the worst-case scenario. I am sure that he is ready to use any violence, any weapons against any type of threat. Unfortunately, there is no much tools, much instruments and solutions in order to stop him. I think even Russia cannot stop him, really. The most possible scenario is that someone from inside, who is close to Lukashenko, when seeing the violence and when seeing all these orders against the people, or like order to shoot people, let's say, someone who is close to him will stop him from doing this, or arrest him, or detain him. I think this is the most possible scenario. I'm not sure that this vertical and power vertical and the system and the circles around Lukashenko are so loyal. Honestly, I think many people there, they are thinking about the betrayal to Lukashenko, and they are just trying to find out what is the most plausible and benefiting solution for themselves. If they will feel security guarantee given by opposition, and if they will understand that they can get more without Lukashenko than with him, then they can switch the site and support the protest.
A glimmer of hope amongst some other very chilling scenarios. Dictators do not tend to go quietly into the night. Franek, I want to thank you very much for all of your hard work covering this story and for joining us here on The Crisis Next Door.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Franek Viachorka, a journalist and analyst based in Minsk and a non-resident fellow with Atlantic Council and vice president of Digital Communications Network. Thank you for joining The Crisis Next Door. I'm Jason Brooks. Till next time.
The Crisis Next Door with host Jason Brooks is produced weekly.
If you have any thoughts for Jason, email him at tcndpodcast@kcbsradio.com. Again, that's tcndpodcast@kcbsradio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.